Morning. Hey, good to see you. Andrew Luckenbaugh, I love you, man. I'm so glad you're here. I missed you. If you don't know Andrew Luckenbaugh, you're missing out. I want you to know that. So, real quick, have you ever had your worst fears come true? Well, one of mine just did about, 10 minutes ago. We've made a mistake, and we neglected to mention a senior that's graduating. So, Corey Stumpf is graduating this year as well, and we love Corey, and we care about him a lot. Gary and Donna, we're so sorry we made that omission, but we're very dear, and we want to celebrate with you all what's going on in Corey's life, too. But we're excited for him as well. And please forgive us for that mistake. We're sorry. I just want to tell you something that I'm just kind of struck by and really impressed upon my heart in the first service and now this service as well. I get to work with some amazing people. Amazing. I want you to share something. First, Sarah Masters, who she and I work together with you. Yes, all these young ladies up here, she also helps with Bible Babes and, leads women's Bible studies. She does such wonderful work with these young ladies, which is great because that's not going to be me. It's not. Better that way, trust me. But also, that first video that was about the sermon series coming up, she made that by hand. Okay, computer too, but she made it by hand, literally from scratch. Okay? Also, yeah, wait. Yeah, this is a big deal. She also edited that whole camp video, which is awesome, which if you don't sign up for it, you better sign up for it. But and I don't even know what's wrong with you. How did I miss this in the first service? Hello, Austin and Sarah are engaged. Come on. It was so precious. I am like, all I can claim is, please forgive me, just dude being a dude. I'm sorry. You guys, hug him and hug him all you want. We're already keeping you long today, so get ready. Not to mention, Sarah's fantastic, but Austin's one of our volunteers. He's incredible. You saw Cheryl Hogarth up here. She's fantastic. You didn't get to see Kim Paska. You didn't get to see Chris Brigham. You didn't get to see John Mark Mitchell. All people that volunteer, and they're all incredibly talented, wonderful folks. And we have a lot of you parents that have helped at special events. I don't even know why I'm here. They do everything great. They get to make me look good. I'm like, no, the Lord uses them. But let me do a quick plug. If you want to do incredible things and be a part of something great that God's doing, we'd love your help. Come volunteer with the youth. You won't regret it. Two things are required: a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and a desire to see kids impacted by God. That's it. Just being available to be used. God will do great stuff with those things. So that said, now that we've got through all the announcements and mistakes and such, I've noticed something recently in life, and it's not a new thing, but it's just struck me as of late. When I consume media, when I'm watching the news or reading articles, I am particularly drawn to awful stories. Like, the more messed up or tragic, the more my interest is piqued. I just confess it. And plenty, if we look at news as a whole, all the media out there, there's no shortage. There is tons of garbage out there, right? And it's not that there aren't good stories as well, but if we look at the comparison, we'll probably notice that the bad stories, stories that end up highlighting, a person in the public light, their character, which is probably lacking in some ways, those are so much more prominent and there than anything that's positive. Again, not that it's absent, but I bet the scale tips way in one direction. Think of it this way. Those of you that have sons or daughters, or if you did, who is there in the public light that you would like for your son or daughter to take on their character traits and be like that person? Go ahead, seriously, try to think of someone. You might be able to comment. If we're looking in recent media history, the list is pretty short. You may come up with a guy like Billy Graham. Mother Teresa, literally, they're like living saints. They're incredible. Those would be great people to have anyone be like? I'd like to be like them. But if we make that list, it's hard. But if you thought of the inverse side of that question, you say, who are the people that I probably wouldn't want my kids to be like? Go ahead, think of some names. They come pretty quick, right? Maybe Justin Bieber, or not. maybe the congressman that recently got busted for having an affair with one of his staff assistants. No, right? There's no shortage of these events and things that are going on. And what it really points to is we see all these things going on in life that point out to a negative, immoral, ungodly life, right? Is there not a better alternative out there? Is there not something where we have a better example of this? Or why don't we? Why is there not? And I think Scripture can really help us understand a little bit this and point us in that right direction. So you're welcome to flip open to me to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 13 through 16. It'll be up on the screen in just a moment as well. So let me read as we enter God's word. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So if I could summarize this brief little section of scripture that we just looked at, two words, be holy. Right. Everyone encouraged? You ready? Go do it. Now, it's a little more than that, but what are the things that come to your mind if someone tells you to be holy? You probably start thinking of a lot of do's and don'ts. That's what comes to my mind. I start thinking of a checklist of ways that God tells me to behave, or my parents have instructed me. You know, maybe my teacher says. And I start thinking of the don'ts. You know, the certain things maybe I see in the media that I shouldn't be doing, or maybe that my peers are taking part in. And in some ways, that's right. In other ways, it really misses the mark. And so if I were to take even just a poll of what it really means to be holy, we'd probably come up with several other answers as well. But the important thing is, in looking at this, we really need to grasp what the word holy means and what it's driving at. In essence, we need to begin with the end in mind. That was always something that was taught when I was with Young Life. We have to begin with the end in mind. We have to know where we're going in order to get there. So here's what it means, right? It means to be set apart. Now, in what essence does that mean, set apart? Does it mean that you're special and privileged? Yeah, you are. Now, we got to be careful, though. Special and privileged, you know, from one perspective can be a great thing. From another perspective, could be very bad. Imagine what someone on the outside looking in says about someone special. Oh, you think you're better than me, huh? You're special? No, we're not special in that sense. We're not better than anyone, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? But what it means is this. You are made with a purpose. You are made with a purpose by your heavenly Father, right? And we find that that purpose is fulfilled when we are following and living as a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's when we find that purpose is fulfilled. Tim Keller phrases it this way. So glad I follow him on Twitter. This is what he says. The fish must honor its design. It is designed for water, not land. We can all imagine what happens. Real freedom is finding the right restrictions. So there's a freedom within living within our design as you're intended to be. And ours happens to be, as God intends, living in intimacy with him and fellowship. Holy living is designed and meant by God, our one true Father. We all have fathers, but we have one true Heavenly Father who's perfect and loves us perfectly. This is what is really coming at the heart of holiness. This is where it begins, but how do we do this? Well, if we look at verse 13, here's what it's written. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. right? I'm going to tell you, when I think of how to do something, I'm like, I've said this example before, I'm just kind of a bull in a china shop. I just want to start running. Bad stuff ends up happening, but I just charge ahead. Never do I think about mentally preparing and getting ready. I just kind of charge in. But in this, it says that the preparation for action begins in preparing, or the doing action prepares in our, begins by preparing in our minds. And it tells us to be self-controlled. This is a phrase that's used for the original word, but it really means to settle, you know, to be present in that moment. And so if it says to set our hope fully on the grace to be revealed when Jesus Christ, to be grace given you when Jesus Christ is revealed, what does that mean? Because if we're to prepare our minds, that's what it says we should focus on. We should prepare our minds by focusing on the hope of the grace given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. That's kind of a weird phrase when I read that. When I hear that, it's like the grace given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Well, part of it is because there's grace that we've been given and there's grace that's yet to come. And there's two aspects. Unless we should ever forget, this is our hope. God has pursued us from the beginning of time. Before we were made, he has sought us out. And when we turned our backs on God and said, forget you, I don't want anything to do with you, he says, I'm still coming after you. He cared about us so much of the fact that he wasn't content to live and sit afar, but came in the form of a man in Jesus Christ and lived a perfect life. But he experienced every kind of joy, every kind of sorrow that we can imagine. Yet he was tempted in every way to a degree that we don't comprehend, and unable to, yet was without sin. And so much for all those things that he did, that he was brutally tortured and murdered and hung upon a cross for our wrongs, for yours and mine. And if that wasn't enough, that he would take that from us, that he rose from the dead, he conquered death, that we have that same hope that when we die, that we will not remain dead, that we will live again and be reunited with God for eternity. It doesn't get any better than that. That God would care about us that much and go to that degree, that is a hope that's worth living for. That is a hope that should make us just almost come to tears, or maybe literally come to tears. We're all a little different. But that is a significant, wonderful thing. But if we set our minds on that hope, what on earth does that have to do with holiness, and how does that prepare our minds for action? Let me explore it this way. Give a couple examples and see if we can hit the mark here with this. For the students, young adults, anyone ever here struggle with acceptance and worry about what other people think of you? Have you heard of your friends doing something that you wish you had done already? Is there something you want to try? Whatever the case may be, it can be a positive or negative thing. I'm not splitting hairs on that. I'm just looking at, are you struggling for acceptance from someone else rather than from God? What if you began to care less and worry less about what other people thought of you, and you were so consumed about the fact that God has pursued you and accepts you fully as you are? What a great thing. If we really realize that God accepts us despite our faults, our successes and failures, man, what a wonderful thing to be. You'd be free to be authentically you in the way God had designed for you, the way that God has intended you to be holy. You can live freely in that. What about some of the adults here? Well, how about this? Any of you ever worry, or any of you ever concerned about what's going to happen to your kids in the future? How they're going to turn out? Probably. Let me tell you, I know a lot of your sons and daughters. I probably know some things you don't. I mean, you know, You should be. No. Some more than others. No. I'm teasing. You guys have wonderful kids, but keep an eye on them. Here's this. What about this aspect of the gospel might hit home if you fret over your son or daughter's future? When you have been astray in the past, recently, has not God continually pursued you and sought you out? Has he not offered you unlimited grace and forgiveness? Has mercy? Has he been slow to be angry and quick to forgive? The same God has been the whole way throughout all of time. It's been revealed perfectly in Jesus Christ. And if we recognize and aware to the extent God has pursued us, isn't he going to do the same with your kids? Isn't he faithful to do those things? It may be difficult. It may be hard. But what better person to trust in that aspect than the Father who has loved you in the same way? You know, I know that there are a lot of these situations that are difficult. But the answer to living a holy life begins by being rooted in the gospel. You know, Martin Luther did this. He preached the gospel to himself daily. I know for me, when I forget, when I get distracted about things, it kind of happens in two ways. One, I start kind of puffing out my spiritual chest. I become, you know, like this, a peacock, all right, you know, strutting my stuff. I know, I don't resemble a peacock. Stephen Mitchell does in his clothes. But I get so proud, and I start thinking, well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing all right. And I forget about leaning upon the grace that God has given me. And I rely on myself. I try to void the gospel out, but that's not true at all. I'm always in need of God's grace. There's nothing, about me that's right. God is continuing to change me, but I am never not in need of God's grace. I'm never too good for it. Or the inverse. Maybe I don't feel good enough. Maybe I'm stuck in a particular sin. There's something that's really dragged me and pulled me down. Hey, it happens. Right? And maybe I feel that I've gone a little bit too far outside of the parameters of God's grace, that it can't reach me. You're nullifying the gospel again. There's nothing that Jesus Christ didn't die for. You know, and thinking about what this really means, one verse particularly comes to my mind. It's 1 John 2:6. And it says this: whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. It's pretty simple. I'm a simple-minded kind of guy. I like to cut right to the heart of the matter. And this is it. If we claim to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we should live as he did. We should be holy as God is holy. We should live as we are intended and designed to do. But remember, it doesn't begin with running out the door and saying, yeah, I'm going to go do this. It begins by resting, by being still in this moment and present and saying, I am forgiven and I'm accepted. I am loved by the God of the universe. My perfect heavenly Father loves me and accepts me right where I am. And then it begins moving outward in a holy way. Living within the parameters, the true way that we live in freedom that God has created for us, the way we were designed to. And it doesn't start tomorrow, it starts today. So here's what we're going to do. I want us to take just 30 seconds, a minute, and we're just going to each on our own do a little business with God. Ask what that means for you. Maybe the Lord's impressed something upon your heart already. Begin talk to him about it. So as we do that, continue that conversation and don't put it off till tomorrow. Start it now. And God will do amazing things. And you'd be surprised at how pleasing and fulfilling a holy life is. Because it's absolutely the way that we were meant to live. Let's go ahead and meet with the Lord on our own. I'll close us in prayer. God, we admit to you that we are sinners in need of your forgiveness. And we claim your promise that every morning your mercies are new. Lord, teach us to live as you have intended us to do in a holy way. help us understand how the gospel sets us free to live as you have made us. And we pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.